I'm glad God saves sinners. Jesus said that he did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Right? Yeah, you have to realize you're a sinner before you'll ever repent. There's a lot of folks that think that they're fine. You know, I'm fine. I'm righteous in their own good works and their own righteousness. But I know what the Bible says. In Isaiah 64, it said that all of our righteousnesses is a filthy rags. There is not enough good. Listen, we could put all the good, and there's some good folks in this congregation, okay? Good people. We could put all the good that we've ever done together and multiply it by infinity, and it wouldn't be good enough to get not one of us to heaven. You must be born again. And it's only through the blood of Jesus, it's only by the grace of God, the good favor of God, that we can be saved and go to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It sure is. I'd like to echo what Pastor David said. We certainly enjoyed this past week. It was a tiring week, but it sure was a blessing just to see the little children, the young people enjoying themselves in the Lord and learning from God's Word and allowing God to speak to their hearts as the Word of God went forth. And so we always look forward to Vacation Bible School. I told several people, and I mean it, I enjoy it. I think a lot of the adults do. I watch the adults just as much as I do the children. They're out there in their game times. They're just hoping that it'll be, you know, that I'll call on the adults to get involved. And we do from time to time, and it's always a time of, well, it's interesting. I'll put it that way. It's interesting. All right, you have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter number 6. And I said I wanted to talk to you about a sin that all of us are guilty of. And from time to time, I've done this for several years now. About every four years, I'll preach a message on this subject because I know it's something that we all battle with. Okay? I'm not talking about lying for you liars. I'm not talking about crookedness and deceitfulness or dishonesty. I'm not talking about cheating. Not even going to talk about really moral corruption, though this sin is at the base of every sin I just named. It's the mother of all sin. It's the sin that was found in who we know now as the devil when he was Lucifer, son of the morning, which means light bearer. And pride was found in his heart. Sometimes when we hear the word pride, we think, well, you know, I don't need a message on pride. That's your pride telling you that. It is. You heard about the man who went to church and he got voted as the most humble man in the church, and they gave him a pin for it, and then he wore it and they took it from him. That's the way we are sometimes. See, we don't think that we need a message on pride. Actually, if I were to ask, and I won't, how many of you think you need to hear a Bible message? Not my opinion, but a Bible message on pride. I don't know that every hand would go up. Because if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know, that's just not something I struggle with, when the Bible says it's something that we all struggle with. We all struggle with. Actually, you are born with pride in your heart. Pride is not something that is attained. It's something that is inherent. And so I want to talk to you about it. And I pray that you'll give ear to what God's Word says. I'm just going to read some scripture and really just commentate on what God says, give you a little commentary on what God says. And God's Word will do the job. Amen. We really need to guard against this thing called pride. Now, what is pride? Let me just say what it's not first, because some people, when they hear the word pride, they say, well, you know what? Everybody ought to have a little pride about themselves. Well, there is, we kind of use the word pride when we're talking about self-respect or self-esteem. Everyone ought to have a certain amount of self-esteem and self-respect, a little dignity about them. Amen. Everyone. You know, some folks think because they walk around like an unmade bed, they're humble. Well, I would say that's sloppy, not humble. Amen. Get your terms right. And they think, well, I'm just humble, you know, I don't comb my hair regular, and I don't dress up. Well, that's just sloppy. Do better. Yeah. You say, well, I don't have all the finest clothes. I didn't say wear all the finest clothes, just wear clean clothes. Amen. Iron them. Yeah. Listen, these are things we ought to know. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. Somebody say, well, he thinks he's something. He's proud because he dresses good. Well, no, I just think that's a little self-esteem, a little respect. Yeah, dignity, self-worth in yourself. And I believe a man and a woman, I think we ought to have it, and I think we ought to teach our children to have it. Amen. Pass it down to your children. Clean your room. Yeah, now the parents are woke up. Some of those, amen. Clean your room. Clean up after yourself. Your mother's your mother, not your maid. That's right. Listen, you need to teach children to clean up after themselves. That helps in self-worth, self-respect, to know how to dress and when to dress and these kind of, how to carry yourself, how to carry yourself as far as manners and mannerism, respect. And so that's not what I'm talking about when I'm saying that God, and the Bible says here, look at it in verse number 17, verse 16 says, there's six things that the Lord doth hate. Now listen, that's a strong word. God hates it. Now, what are these seven things? Well, I'm not going to go into all of them, but I'm going to tell you what the first one is in verse number 17, a proud look. Pride in a negative sense, and I want you to listen very carefully. You can study the scripture out, and I'm going to bear it right here from the scripture what God means. Pride is saying, I don't need God. Pride says, I can do this. I don't need God. I don't need you. I don't need authority. I don't need counselors. I don't need advice. I've got this. See, that's pride. Pride lives independent of God. And when we live independent of God, see if this sounds kind of familiar to you and relative. When we live independent of God, we become ungrateful. See, independent of God leads to ingratitude toward God. And that's why we get this mindset, well, God owes me something. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. All that I have from God is by His good favor, and I want to say thank you publicly to the Lord for His goodness on my life. All that I have has come from God, and all that I am is by God's amazing grace. Amen. So if you ever see anything good in this man, you can attribute it to the good grace and favor of God. So I want to talk to you about pride. What's some things that pride, what can we be on the lookout for? Well, let me ask you some questions that I wrote down. I wrote this down, okay? Pride is a very dangerous thing. It's deceptive. It's deceitful. It's damaging. It's destroying. And in the end, it's damning. Pride. Pride. Pride causes a lot of problems in our lives. Pride will prevent us from making peace with those in whom we have had confrontation with. Pride is at the base of many arguments. Pride is at the base of every breakup and divorce. You see, there really are no problems too big to solve. There's just people too little to solve them. Pride, you see. Pride. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Pride, you see. That arrogancy, that hauntedness, that proud look. What does God think about this? What does God say about it? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Before we do, I want to ask you some questions. Number one, do you get irritated when people correct you? I want you to be honest. Does it irritate you when people correct you? Do you love and sense the need to be acknowledged in everything you do? To where you just about have come to the place of where you don't even like to do anything if you're not acknowledged for it. Do you always have an excuse for when you make a mistake or when you're wrong? Oh, I didn't mean to say that. It came out wrong. Really? That's your excuse? Are you ungrateful? Do you murmur and complain No matter how good God is, it's not good enough. See, these are evidences of pride. Do you never seek advice, never seek counsel, never seek instruction? And the whole time somebody is trying to tell you something, you're constantly saying, oh, I know. But yet you're not doing what you say you know. This one's for the men. Do you stop at service stations and ask for directions? I thought I would throw that one in there just to take a shot at the men. The men know I love them. They're tough. They can take it. Are you always competing with others and what others have and feel like I've got to keep up with them and have even more than them? Is that the driving force behind what you do and what you have, to have as much, if not more, than the others around you? See, these are evidences of pride. And it's killing us, brethren. It's killing us. It is eating at the moral fabric of our great nation. Pride. Pride. It's crept into our homes. It's crept into our government. It's crept into our churches, our schools. Pride. It's almost as if people are living their lives like, I'm looking out for big number one. You know, I'm number one. I'm it. I'm self-sufficient. I'm a self-made man, they say. I got to where I am by what I did. Nobody helped me. Let me tell you something. The Bible's always right, and it says, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. By the good help and the good grace of God, we have what we have, and we are what we are, and we owe all the glory to God. I am so thankful for the people that God has put in the pathway of my life to help me become what I am. God used them as tools and instruments to help mold me into what I am. And God uses people in the pathway of our lives to help us. Sometimes they help us to know, go in this direction. Sometimes they help us to yield and to slow down and say, no, wait a minute, you need to think that through. Sometimes they just hold up a big stop sign and say, wrong way. Right? Aren't you glad God puts people in the pathway of your life that way? Sometimes He'll put them right up under your roof. He will. Final thing I'll ask before we get into the scripture here, and I'm just going to read some scripture to you. Do you feel like you're better than other people? Conceited? You look down on other people because they may not have what you have or know what you know? See, we have a particular group of people in our country that's trying to divide us on these things. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be under one particular group. There's people that would try to have you to think that you are better than someone because of the things that you possess. That doesn't make you better than anyone. Somebody say amen with me now. You may know more than someone in one area, but that doesn't make you better than them. Doesn't make you better than them. I say away with that stuff. Let's minister to people. Let's realize who we are and what we have and why we have what we have and why we are who we are. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. It is with humility of spirit that we ought to receive all the blessings of God, not with a proud heart like, well, you know, God owed me this. I'm so good, God owed me this. If I got what I received because I was good, I wouldn't have much. And if we'd all be honest with ourselves, we'd feel the same way. So let's look at this. What does pride do? Well, I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to chapter number 16 of Proverbs. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bible, let's just turn to the Proverbs. Proverbs is what? The book of wisdom. God said, I want to teach you something about pride. I want to teach you to steer away from this sin. Steer away. Look what God says in Proverbs 16. Are you there? Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 5. Now, we've already seen in Proverbs 6 where the Bible says that God hates a proud look. Now, we're going to kind of define that. What do you mean a proud look? God, what do you mean when God hates a proud look? Look at in Proverbs 16, look at verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. You see, that's where it begins, in your heart. Pride begins in your heart. Pride begins when you begin to think you're better than others, that you know best, your way's the best, always the best, right? You're never wrong. You don't need advice. You never need counsel. You say, well, preacher, I've never said I don't need counsel. Have you ever sought it? You see, some things don't have to be stated to be known. When's the last time you asked somebody for some counsel in a matter? The Bible clearly teaches in the book of Proverbs and throughout the Scripture that we all need counsel. You don't know it all about everything. I do not know it all about everything. I had to look and see if my wife was in here. I hate when I say that and she's sitting in the congregation. She thinks I know it all. She knows better. Sometimes I feel like I do and I want to act like I do, and sometimes you do too. That's right. And pride does this to us. Pride makes us think, well, if I admit that I'm wrong, what will people think? How will that make me look? If I go to somebody and ask them for counsel, for advice, will that make me look weak? Can I tell you, a man that'll seek counsel and instruction is not a weak man, he's a strong man. He's a man that wants to know. He's a man that realizes, I can't see the cube. I can only see one side of the cube. I need someone that sees it from a different angle to help me see the entire cube. And so the Bible says that God is disgusted with, he abhors, look in verse number 5 of Proverbs 16, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination. You see that word there? It means that God abhors it. God abhors it. Pride, a proud heart. You see, pride doesn't have to get into your feet and your hands and your mouth. It can be in your heart and God can see it. God can see it in your heart. But I want to tell you this, because it's in our heart, it'll break out on us. It will. Hold your place here just for a moment. I said we're only going to go to Matthew, but God laid this scripture on my heart. Turn to Mark. I think it's Mark 7. It's just a scripture that Jesus made a very interesting statement. Mark chapter 7. We'll just turn here briefly and then back to the book of Proverbs. Mark chapter number 7. I'm talking to you this morning about pride. Something that it doesn't matter if you're 10. Listen, you can be 6 months old. We're going to see this in just a moment, what God said. You can be a baby and have pride. You can. You can be 80 years old, 85, 90, and have pride. You have to be careful. I have to be careful. We have to remember to be humble before the Lord, to remember where God found us and remember what God has done for us and remember where God has brought us from and remember that it's God that's doing it, brethren. So, well, I did it by my own strength. Who gave you that strength? I did it by my own knowledge. Who gave you that knowledge? Who gave you the brain to think? Who put those people in the pathway of your life to teach you? Aren't you glad that God puts teachers in the pathway of our lives? Amen. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said this. Are you there in Mark chapter 7? Look at verse 18. And he saith unto them, this is Jesus speaking, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing that is without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly. In other words, it's not from without that enters in. Notice what Jesus said. He said in verse number 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For within, verse 21, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. Look at the next one. Pride. You see, if I were to stand up here and say this congregation is full of adulterers and fornicators and thieves and covetousness and murderers, you'd say, whoa, man, am I at the right place? But when you say pride, people just say, like, oh, well, not a big deal. Can I tell you, it's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. It ought to be a big deal to you, and it ought to be a big deal to me. I do not want pride to slip into my life, and yet if I'm not careful, it's already in my heart, and it'll begin to try to rise up and rise up daily to make me think I'm something that I'm not. As we go back to the book of Proverbs, I'm not going to the detail with this, only to let you know, as I've already said, pride comes from the enemy. Pride comes from the devil. You can really tell what something is by the source in which it comes from. And so you be careful now. You say, preacher, I'm going to move on to the next point, but I'm going to close this point with this. Listen carefully now. Preacher, does that mean that if I have pride in my life that God will not work for me? It not only means that God will not work for you. Listen carefully now. It means that God will work against you. What do you mean, preacher? Read 1 Peter chapter 5 and James chapter 4. God resisteth the proud. That word resisteth means he is working against you. Someone tries to arrest you, and I hope you don't ever have this encounter. You say, preacher, have you? Well, stay out of my business. No. Someone ever try to arrest you and you resist, that means you're pulling back. You're working against them. You're resisting arrest. And God says in his word that God giveth grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. He's working against you. So you be careful now. You want to come down on the right side of this thing of being humble before the Lord and not being puffed up in pride. I do too. So, number one, it angers God. Number two, it shows how depraved we are. How depraved we are. Turn, if you would, to chapter 21 of Proverbs. Chapter 21. This is a very interesting verse of Scripture. Proverbs 21. Look at verse number 4. We're talking about pride. And I realize that we don't like to hear things that we need to correct in our life, but brethren, all of us need to work on this, okay? Your preacher needs to work on it. Your family needs to work on it. You need to work on it. Your children need to work on it. This is something that if we're not careful, pride will creep up and it will cause many, many problems in our lives. And we'll only look at the exterior, the result of pride, and not really get down to the real cause of the problem. Can I tell you that many wars could have been salvaged? Many wars could have been ended sooner had it not been for pride. There's a lot of people that are angry at other people. They have unforgiveness in their heart because pride will not allow them to go and say, I'm sorry. Let's reconcile. I'm not going to cow down to her. Pride. Ain't no supervisor going to tell me to sweep the floor. No way. I'm lead operator. Pride. Pride. I can't tell you the times I sit across the desk from a man and a woman that had all types of problems, and a little humility would have gone a long way in reconciling some things, but pride would not allow them to do it. Pride. You have to be careful about this sin. It's a dark one. It's a dark one. It's one that we don't flinch at. That's why it's so deceptive. If I were to tell you today I'm going to preach on the dangers of drugs, you'd say, oh, you know, we need to get serious about fighting drugs. We need to get serious about fighting pride. Amen. If I were to tell you I was going to preach against the dangers of alcohol, you'd say, man, we need to get serious about that. America's drunk, right? America's drunk. We feel like we got to drink to everything in this country. And it is terrible. But can I tell you, pride's terrible too. It sure is. Look at Proverbs 21, verse number 4. This is what God said about pride. Are you there? Proverbs 21, look at verse number 4. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Did you read that? A high look and a proud heart. Now look at that next phrase. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. What's that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means when, and this is talking about a working man, a farmer. He could be talking about a working woman. It could be talking about a working man in any field of employment. But it just so happens to be talking about something that they did much of back in this day. Farming, agriculture. And so it said, the plowing of the field of the wicked. So you get a man up, he gets up in the day and he goes out and he doesn't thank God for his field. He just assumes this is my field. This field is there because of me. And then he cultivates that field and he sows that seed and he says, I got that seed. You see what he's saying? I got that seed. He doesn't thank God for the sunshine. He doesn't thank God for the rain. He doesn't thank God for growing his crop. He doesn't thank God for anything. He just says, I did this. I did this. I did this. I did this. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people who live their life that way. They never have one time bowed on their knee and said, God, this field that I have come from you. And I want to thank you for the field you've given me, Lord. You've given me soil that I could sow my seed in. God, you even gave me the seed that I could sow it in. Amen. You gave me the equipment to cultivate my fields, to plow my fields. You brought sun to help my crop and rain to water it. You gave the increase. God, you're good to me. Amen. And I want to thank you for your goodness. But see, not this man. Look at again with verse 21, Proverbs 21, verse 4. A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I don't want to go through my day and not thank God for his goodness in my life. And I don't think you do either. But I'm going to tell you something. The old devil will try to keep you from doing it, won't he? The old devil will try to make you think that you've done it. Right? Somebody come pat you on the back for something you know. Listen, you know just as sure as I do. Somebody come to me and say, boy, I tell you right now, I appreciate that message. And if I'm not careful, I'll say, yeah, well, I stayed up about, 4 o'clock in the morning putting her together. Uh-uh. It's only by God's grace that I got it out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God had to put it in me before I could get it out. You see, this is what God is saying. Pride is living independent of God. It's saying, I don't need God. I don't think anybody would stand up here if I gave you the opportunity. I don't think there's anyone in the building that would stand up here this morning and say, I just want to go on record and say that I'm one of those that live independent of God. You may not say it verbally, but I want to challenge you this morning. Please hear me now. I know we're tired, but I want to challenge you this morning. How do you live? Not what do you say, how do you live? Do you thank God for the new day? Do you thank God for the strength and the ability to do the things that you do? Do we thank God for allowing us to obtain what we obtain and allowing us to have what we have? Do we thank God for that? Are we thankful people, or have we come to the place of this man in Proverbs 21 with a proud look and a high look and say, I am the reason that I have what I have. I am the ruler of my own domain. No. No. We're servants of God at best. Amen. And we're indebted to God for all. When I was a kid, my grandmother owned the farm. My uncle, they had adjoining farms, and we'd go work the fields. I'm going to tell you right now, that's hard work. Somebody say amen with me. Can I get a witness? Has anybody ever, you know what it is to work fields? Amen. Tell you right now. Woo. Say, preacher, I want one of them outdoor jobs. I'm tired of being cooped up in an office. Okay. grandma know how to work you. I'm going to tell you right now. Say, preacher, when you was a kid, you ever have trouble going to sleep? Not a bit. Not at grandma's house. Amen. She didn't have to tell us. Now go to sleep. Settle down and go to sleep. Never. But I remember seeing these apples. She had some apple trees. And I remember seeing these apples, and we'd pick them up, and we'd do all kinds. We'd throw them at each other. We'd eat some. We'd, all kinds of stuff. But I remember one time I saw an apple, and I saw a worm. Just right at the top of the apple, and I thought, man, I'm not going to eat that apple. And I threw it away. And my grandmother saw me. She said, what are you doing? And I told her, I said, that apple's, things are rotten. It's a worm going into that apple. She taught me a great lesson. I want you to listen now. She said, the worm's not going into the apple, son. The worm's coming out of the apple. I said, what? She said, yeah. She said, it was an egg laid on the blossom. And that apple formed with that worm in it as a larva. And that hole in that apple was not bored for the worm to get in. It's bored for the worm to get out. My grandmother was a good Christian lady. And she told me, that's the way sin is in your life. Right? Can I tell you that's the way pride is? Pride's already in there. It just comes out in different ways. Lying, cheating, stealing, loafing, right? Arguing, debating. It's already in your heart. It's just like that apple. You say, now, preacher, I just don't know about that now. I mean, is that really so? Well, how many of you have teach your children to be selfish? You have children? Got parents here today? Have you ever had to tell your children, now, listen. Listen now, come here. We have company coming over. Don't share. You parents know what I'm talking about. Don't share with them. No, that's not the talk you have to have with your children, is it? As a matter of fact, some of our children, it's amazing. I've watched children sit in a room and be 15 toys and they wouldn't be paying attention to at least 10 of them until another child walked in the room and went over to pick it up, and boy, then it's like, it's like World War III. Mine! 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 See, that's pride. That's pride. It's inherent. And so we really have to guard against it. Let me give you a few more things, and then we'll be through today, okay? I just want to warn you against pride. Be thankful. Be grateful. Understand who your blessings come from. Understand where they come from. Maintain the spirit of humility. Don't feel like you always have to be on top or acknowledged or top dog. You know, it's okay. It's okay to get instructions. It's okay to get directions. It's okay to accept correction. You can't be right all the time. I keep telling myself that. Yeah. You can't be right all the time. Some of us men, it do us good to just practice that. You know, you can't be right all the time. Maybe on your drive home from work, you know what's going to happen when you get home. Just, you know, you can't be right all the time. You can't be right all the time. Turn to Proverbs 13. Look at verse number 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Hope you're marking these. Only by pride cometh contention. What about that? You know those little scraps and arguments and debates and it's pride. It's pride. Even if there's a problem that arises outside of pride, I can't think of many, if any, it's pride that won't allow us to solve them. Right? Yes. Pride is a terrible thing, is what I'm saying this morning. And we're living in a society that's eat up with it. And I don't want to be eat up with it. I need God to help me. I do not want to be conquered by pride. I don't want pride to guide my life. I want to be known as a person who was humble before the Lord. Listen, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, we ought to be like Jesus. And Jesus humbled himself. He was a servant. How many humble people do you know that are willing to serve other people? You mention to most people in our day of serving people and they'll get offended at you. Offended. This country was built on serving brethren. God knows the church, Christian people ought to be servants. It ought not offend you when someone asks you to serve someone. You ought to volunteer to serve someone. Say amen with me. Only by pride cometh contention. I I believe a lot of arguments, a lot of church splits, and we have great unity at the church, but listen, the devil's always trying to get his foot in. A lot of arguments in your family, a lot of contention in your family, in the church, in your workplace, it's by pride. Just inventory your life. I'm just saying this by way of, listen, if nothing else, it's just a reminder to us. It's a reminder. Pride wants to bring contention, division. Pride will do that. Isn't that what the Bible says? Let's read it one more time before we move on. Proverbs 13, look at verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Get you some counsel. Don't be too proud to get some counsel. Get advice. Get advice. And I'm not just talking to the young people, though I would say, young people, please listen up. Get some counsel from some people who have been where you are headed. Get you some good godly counsel. Let's turn to a few more Proverbs, all right? Let's turn to Proverbs 11. By the way, some of you, we've got some folks in our congregation getting ready to get married. That's a great thing. Amen. That's right. I was thinking about this. I'll never forget one time a man came in my office when I was pastoring in South Carolina, and he just looked like his world was just caving in on him. And he said, "I got this real bad problem, Pastor." And he said, I'm concerned. And I said, "What's the problem? Sit down. Tell me about it." He said, "It's Cindy." And I said, "Okay, what's going on with Cindy?" Cindy was 16. Okay. He said, "I think Cindy," and I'm using names here, okay? "I think Cindy," these are not their real names, "I think Cindy has her eyes on Johnny." In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, what's the problem here? And so I said, "Well, what are you talking about? Cindy's got her eyes on Johnny." He said, "Yeah." He said, "She's not but 16. I said, "Let me tell you something, brother. In the world that we live in, you better be glad Cindy hadn't got her eyes on Jody. Can I tell you, it is just as natural as it can be for Cindy to have her eye on Johnny." Right? Yeah. That's right. You might have to govern a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with a young lady looking at a young man or a young man looking at a young lady, boyfriend or girlfriend. I'd be more concerned if Cindy was looking at, Mary. It's Pride Month. Can I tell you what God thinks about Pride Month? He hates it. And before anybody leaves Fellowship Baptist Church and says, "Now, wait a minute. That preacher down there said that God hated gay people." I didn't say that. I said God hates gay pride. But just in case we get a little confused on this, God hates straight pride too. That's right. God hates pride. Those gay folks have nothing to be proud of. Amen. That's right. I'm not backing up on that. God hates pride. He does. God hates sin. And pride is a sin. So is sodomy. It's a sin. But so is adultery. So is fornication. Amen. Sin. I just couldn't imagine what our country would look like if we had a bunch of murderers marching up Main Street. Murder pride. Baloney. Get that out of here. We're liars and we're proud of it. Get that out of here. Never be proud of any kind of sin. Amen. That's right. We're not backing up on that now. No. Mm-mm. This book's always right. Now let's look at chapter 11 here. Verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. What do you think about that? Shame. See, that's what pride produces. Shame. You see what God is saying? People think, "Well, I'm going to fight and claw and kick and I'm going to be at the top. And I'm going to get all the recognition, I'm going to do this, and I'm finally going to get the acknowledgement I deserve." No, you're going to get shame. That's what God said. Shame. Usually the folks that think that they're in the limelight and they're the pride this and the pride that. Shame, reproach is what God says. And so God help you and God help me and God help us not to yield or to fall in this deceitful sin called pride. It just comes at us at every angle. I'll close with this. There's much more that I could, but I want to close with this. Okay, I want to give you three scriptures. Proverbs 15. There's many, you ought to go through the book of Proverbs, just look at the word pride and a proud look. Proverbs 15. I'm just going to read these and let you know that if you don't get this matter of pride settled in your life, it will damn your soul. Notice what God said here. Proverbs 15. Are you there? Proverbs 15. Look at verse 25. Proverbs 15, this is what God said now. The Lord, he said, will destroy the house of the proud. Now, the preacher's saying that because God said it. See, this is what God thinks about pride. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. I told you, this thing of pride, it's deceitful. It's dangerous. It's damaging. It's destroying. It's damning. Look, turn over just one more chapter to Proverbs 16. This is one that we're very familiar with. Proverbs 16, look at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. A man who says, a woman who would say, a person who would say, I'm unbending. I will not bend. I will not yield. God says, oh yeah. Yep, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, brethren, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, I could turn to more, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Now, I don't know why God told me to preach this message on pride, but I can tell you right now, God told me to. If no one else needed it, I need it. I need to be reminded life is not about me. Life, listen, does not revolve around me. It's not, it's just, we just live in a society where it's I, selfie, me. You know, it's just turned into where everything's got to be about the individual. And it has really began to decay the moral fabric of our society. And I don't want it to decay you and your life, me and my life, my home or your home. But now pride will bring you down. And so I want to ask you to bow your head and just think honestly for a moment. Would you, as the pianist begins to play,